On the tech talk front, Dominic, you got some updates from last week.
Yes. Well, I mean, I just realized at the end we were so zooming through all the new iPods so fast, I forgot the key feature of the newest of the iPods, and iPod Touch, is that it has Wi-Fi. So, for instance, if you're in Norwich and you want to go down to the center of town where there's free Wi-Fi, you could probably use it to get hook up to the internet that way and browse the web.
That free Wi-Fi goes out all the way to Heatherset, so I guess it's already around Moton Road.
No, it isn't. It's just around the center of town. There might be other free Wi-Fi around here. We have to do a careful mapping, but there are certainly, I'm very near the center, and there you cannot catch it there. So it really depends where you are.
Yeah, and I was in a hotel in Heatherset, and I think it was the Norfolk County Council one that came through, and it was free for anyone to use. You just had to log on.
Yes, so. Yes. I'm not exactly sure about the boundaries, but
how does that work then, Don? Do you have like a username and a password, or do you just go on to it?
No, you go on, and then you have to, you go to the web, and then a page comes up and it tells you, you can use it for free for an hour, and then, just click here that you understand you're not going to do anything bad, and then you just can keep on using it. And it may time out after an hour, but then you can log in straight away. It's just so that people don't leave their computers on it for a long time.
Is that similar? Because I know if you get in the library and you use the computers in the library, you have an hour, and you have to do the terms and conditions, but you have to put your library card number in on that.
Yes, this one, no number required. All you need to do is click to acquiesce to the rules.
Can you see a day when all internet or broadband getting online is free?
No.
I think so.
Just like
electricity, Ross disagrees.
Just like electricity is not free, I think broadband access in many ways just like is a utility like electricity. So I don't see it ever quite being free. However, there is a good chance that a limited access to the internet might be free. So you might be walking around town, get a slower speed connection for free. But if you want to get a proper good connection, you might have to pay more.
Sponsorship or something like that.
Well, Google is trying that in the U.S. at the moment, but it's not hasn't really met with enough success. There are a lot of problems with it, particularly because the Wi-Fi technology isn't well suited to coverage of large places. It really is meant for buildings or offices.
Well, I think of it, if anyone wants to get involved in Tech Talk, as a listener out there, you want to get involved and want to challenge Dom or Ross or me, not that I know really much about tech stuff, but there's a couple of battles we're going to have. We're going to have a battle of PC against Mac. So I'm going to bring up another couple of Mac fans that are going to come in here, including one in this
very built-in.
Yes, if only. And also we're going to do, and you can get involved in this, I know this is slightly different, Facebook versus MySpace.
MySpace all the way.
I like Facebook.
No, I don't.
I'm afraid Facebook will probably win that battle just because of the ugliness of MySpace. But it's a purely aesthetic issue. However, before we go on, a quick one, because we tend to veer off, but there's an important announcement. Tomorrow,
surely not.
Tomorrow, Apple has a big announcement in London, and everybody knows they will announce the iPhone, which is basically like the iPod Touch, which is slightly bigger and has a phone. But it will not be open, unlocked, so it will be tied to a carrier. Nobody knows who it is yet, but there's strong rumors that it will be O2 in England.
Oh, yes.
And it will probably be T-Mobile in Germany and Vodafone in France. So it's kind of a strange arrangement. But the iPhone was the biggest gadget of the summer. It's generated an enormous amount of discussion and buzz in the U.S. They sold a million units since the launch on June 29th.
But what can it do that we don't already have?
Well, actually, I haven't touched it myself because it hasn't been here, but I don't think it's a particularly good phone. It doesn't have a lot of features. You can put your own ringtones on it. It only has a limited number of ringtones, and there's lots of problems that it has. But the thing that it does have, it has this great touch interface, and it also has Wi-Fi, so you can browse the internet. So it's kind of a limited smartphone, and we'll talk about it more when it comes out here and see if people want to buy it or not. But I personally think it's a little overpriced and underpowered as a phone, but it's a good iPod.
And just one other note you left me on a slightly separate matter was Ultimate Steal, Microsoft giveaway.
Yes, well, it isn't quite a giveaway for completely free, but you can get the ultimate version of Microsoft Office 2007 for £37, which is incredibly cheap because the full version costs like £250 or maybe £300 or more. And you get all the applications in the Microsoft Office suite if you are a student at a university or college, which means that the and you have to be at least had part-time, at least 50%.
Right.
So that means you have to have an email address that ends in .ac.uk. But if you're one of those people, go and buy it because it's worth it. Because otherwise you can buy, which is what I've done, you can buy for about £90, the family version, and anybody can buy that for their personal use. But that is £90, and it doesn't have, for instance, Outlook 2007. It only has PowerPoint, Word, and Excel.
It's Dominic Lukesh, it's Sir Ross Patel and myself, Tim MacWilliam, talking technical things, and we'll talk some more after Otis Redding, Love Man. Dominic Lukesh in the studio with me, Ross Patel in the studio with me, and that Microsoft Not Quite giveaway, there was a website with that.
It's ultimatesteel.co.uk.
Right.
You can go there and pay £37 and get a very good deal on a pretty good piece of software. However, if you're not a particularly demanding user, or even if you are a reasonably demanding user, you can get an Office suite for free at openoffice.org, and we'll talk more about open and free software next week.
That's great. So now we're going to talk about digital photography, because more and more people have got digital cameras, and it used to be like 1 million or 2 million pixels, but right now there's, I mean, how big is yours, Ross?
Whoa! Mine's, I got a Nokia N73. I think it's is that a 3 megapixel?
Yeah, N73 is 3 megapixels, N95 is 5 megapixels. That's the Nokia phones. They're the super expensive, super great phones.
3.2.
However, my main message, let's talk about digital photography, and the main message is forget pixels.
Right.
Pixels are no longer important. Once you get over 4 megapixels, which is 4 million pixels, you're pretty much okay. And these days you will find it hard to buy a camera that is not in a phone that is under 6 megapixels. So don't look at the megapixels. Look at other things. Most importantly, the glass. It's the optics on a phone, on a camera that really made the difference. And also some of the chips that record the all the details of the phone of the camera. Sorry, I'm getting something.
No, don't worry about that. Well, I was going to suggest about phones and particularly cameras. Is it worth these days having a separate camera and a separate phone?
Yes, absolutely. Well, again, it depends what you want to do. If you just want to take a few quick snaps here and there, then, you know, your phone is fine. But don't forget that your phone, there is no phone that I know of that has an optical zoom. So the first thing you need to look at, if you want to zoom on your camera, you need an optical zoom. The digital zoom, they always say, you know, the camera has 18x zoom, but in fact, only look at the optical zoom.
Okay.
So it's usually 3x zoom is usually what you get at a small compact. And if you want to get a bigger camera, you can sometimes get 6 to 7x zoom.
But are you
don't
saying
count the digital zoom, only the optical?
Are you saying that there's no point in getting a camera any bigger than 4 million pixels?
I'm just saying don't obsess about pixels, because that's all that you hear about. When people talk about cameras, they say, oh, you know, I have a 7 megapixel, I have an 8 megapixel. Mm. That really means nothing after you get about 4 megapixels, unless of course you're a professional photographer and you want to print large posters. If you for a regular A4, you know, like just like A4 size photo, your 4 megapixels are going to be more than enough. So don't stress out over it. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't buy large megapixel cameras, but that shouldn't be the first thing you look at.
Fine, just to put on your computer.
For a computer, 1.5 megapixels is more than enough.
That's what most people
do
nowadays.
That's
what,
that's all your phone, that's all your monitor will ever display. So you don't need anything. The other reason for having lots of megapixels is if you tend to edit your photos a lot. Because when you edit your photos, you cut pixels off usually. So the more you have, the more data you have to have fun with. So that is the important thing to remember.
But I wonder if digital photography is making the 35mm almost redundant.
Well,
and Kodak, are they struggling, or are they managing to reinvent themselves?
Fuji and Kodak, particularly Kodak, are doing really well in the digital camera market. You know, you will know that you can get the film was quote unquote developed by Kodak and all these little services around. Just basically bring in your card from your camera or a CD that you've burned the photos on, and they'll print them out for you, which is more than enough. So I think they're doing reasonably well, but of course they're looking for other sources of revenues.
Do you think anyone buys throwaway cameras anymore? Do you think? I haven't seen them for ages.
I do. If you go somewhere, if you're going perhaps on a boat, and you get the waterproof version, so you just take some snaps and whatever.
Yeah, but I think people do. I mean, I think you can now get a digital throwaway camera as well, but I haven't done it in a long time, so I don't really know that much about it.
But I used to have like a whole box full of old photographs, and now it's just on my hard drive, but then the hard drive can be gone like that, and then you've lost all those hundreds of photographs.
Well, you can have a fire, you can spill something over your
less
box.
Less likely, hopefully.
But the word of wisdom is do backups. Back up your photos. So I think everybody should have a digital camera these days if they have a computer, of course. If you don't have a computer, then a digital camera isn't much good.
But when you print out, you have these printers at home. They're supposed to be very, very good. You print it out and it looks okay. The colors are sometimes strange. And also it starts to fade.
I don't know why. Well, it depends on what sort of printer you have. You have to use the right paper, the right ink, all sorts of things get into it. So basically, I never print out photos, but if I ever need to give somebody a paper photo, I run down to Jessup's or whoever and have it printed out there. And it's because you never really print out more than four or five, so it's better just to get it done on a professional machine that is set up just for printing photos. These photo printers can be good, but they're never... But actually, it ends up being very expensive if you want to get it right.
Have you ever printed from... Because my phone's got a memory card in it. Have you ever printed... Because they have the machines at supermarkets now where you can put the memory card into the machine and you can print straight from the machine. Have you ever tried that before?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Right,
it's quite good.
Oh, yes. I mean, well, the quality of the printing is good. It really just depends on how good... the original photo was that you put in. So, in general, the photo
should I try doing that and then bring it in next week?
That's sure. Nice idea.
The photos and bring it in next week.
Because the next stage on this is what do we do with the photographs once they're taken?
Yes. Well, actually, before we go to that, let's talk about how to take good digital photographs. There are two tips that I want to give out that people, bizarrely, almost very few people know about, and I don't know how that is possible, but when you take a digital picture... you will have noticed that often it takes longer. If you have experience with film cameras, it takes quite a bit longer for a digital picture, for the digital camera to actually, from the time you push the shutter to take the picture. That's called the shutter lag.
Mm-hmm.
And that is necessary because of a variety of things. First, there's a sensor in the digital camera that needs to heat up to take the data. Not heat up physically, but it sort of needs to get ready. And then also, there's lots of electronic processing that goes into the focus. So that is why, if you want to take a good digital picture, you should make sure that you do something called focus lock. So that means, and all the manuals say it, and everywhere you look it says it, but so many people don't know about it. You push the shut button halfway through until this green light comes on. That means the focus is locked, and then you push it all the way through. Otherwise, you're going to get a
blurry
picture.
Okay.
Well, would that be the same in Ross's
phone? Well, the phone cameras, really, they don't really come.
They're just boy toys.
Yeah, I mean, so they're not, they don't really have, they usually have plastic lenses instead of glass lenses.
Yeah.
And, so they're, really doesn't matter on a phone camera, but on a good, even a compact digital camera, it matters. And the reason it's important, because I have a great trick for you.
Please.
If you need to take a picture with the sun shining towards you, right, which we all know is a bad thing to do because you get washed out pictures and sometimes you don't see even anything, if you use this focus lock, you turn around and focus at something at a similar distance where the sun is behind you, push the button halfway down, you lock the focus on something where there is no sun. You turn around and take the picture into the sun. You're going to get a much better picture than if you had tried to focus into the sun.
Brilliant.
Because you're basically fooling the camera's focus on an automatic. Of course, if you have a SLR, fancy machine, you know how to deal with that anyway. But if for just a quick, on a quick compact machine, that's a great trick for getting good pictures when the sun is shining into you. I mean, you will still get some of the effects of the sun, but it won't be as bad as if the camera actually tried to focus into the sun.
That's quite a good tip, isn't it? Did you know that, Ross?
No, I didn't. No. Full of information.
Okay. So, what we'll do, play another quick tune, and then we'll come back and we will talk more about what to do with the photographs when they're taken.
All right.
Okay. Right now we're doing Tech Talk, Ed Dominic Lukesh, Ross Patzelt, with myself, and we are talking all about photography and digital photographs, and the question now arises, Dom, is what to do with them once we have them.
Yes.
Online?
Well, we'll talk about online mostly, but first let's remind everybody, get a big old honking hard drive. You can probably get one for about 50 quid these days, put all your photos on it, and then what should you do then? get another one.
All
and
right.
Put the same photos on another hard drive and put it somewhere else. We'll talk about backup in the future, but this is just the first thing you should do. Make copies, because those photos are often your life. You have your kids, your holidays, your memories on them, and hard drives fail. So, you know, so make good backup. Well, one way of backing everything up is, of course, putting it online in a way that you can not only have a copy of your picture, but also can share it with others. And there are lots of websites that allow you to do that.
Facebook.
Like Facebook or
MySpace.
Or others. The one I want to talk about is called Flickr, which is F-L-I-C-K-R, and there's no E before the .com, so Flickr.com. And that is a company that was bought by Yahoo recently, well, a few years ago. But they will let you upload your pictures for free and share them with friends, edit them, put them in albums and groups, tag them, put them on a map. There's all sorts of fun things you can do with Flickr. And it is free for up to 100 megabytes a month. So every month you can add another 100 megabytes, which I think is a pretty good deal, because usually you don't take that many more pictures than if you make them a little smaller before you upload them, which is enough anyway.
Right.
Then there's more than enough than you need. However, if you're a pro, or if you have lots of pictures, and your whole family is putting up pictures or something like that, then you can pay about $25 a year. So that's a very reasonable
dollars.
Yes. I mean, well, it's an American company, and they,
okay.
So you know, so in pounds,
£18,
yes, yeah. Something like that. So Flickr works in a very, it's very simple to use Flickr. All you just go there, you register. And register an account, and then just click on somewhere where it says upload your photos, and it will pop up, and a dialogue will pop up, and then you will point to your folder with your photos, and you can upload them all at once. And there you go. And then what you can do is you can put them in albums, you can describe them, you can give them different names. And the newest feature is called geotagging, which is a great little thing, because you can go to organize your photos and then click on a map. And a map will come up, and you can drag your pictures into the exact place where you took them.
And obviously, this answers my question about what happens if you lose your hard drive, because it's actually on a website somewhere.
Yes, but remember, usually the copies that you put up on the website are lower quality, so you should have a backup anyway, maybe on the DVD or CD, burn them on the CD or something like that.
Okay.
But, Flickr is a great way for sharing photos, and what I did last week, I started a little group for sharing photos for Future Radio. So if you register an account,
mm-hmm.
and go to on the Flickr and
yep.
upload your pictures, then you can look for the Future Radio Norwich group. Subscribe to
Careful
the group.
Careful how you say that. Okay.
Future Radio Norwich.
Okay, right.
It's the whole thing. Future Radio Norwich 96.9 FM.
Okay. 96.9. Okay, yeah.
And then subscribe to that group, and you can submit pictures to that group. So and then you can put them on a map in that group. So we'll not only have a group of all the listeners' pictures, but also where they were taken.
Wonderful. That'd be great. Yes.
Just be registered to view the pictures on there.
No, it's actually, they're publicly available. So if you go at the moment, if you go to Flickr/photos/future radio,
right,
you will get the pictures that I have uploaded on the web. Right now. So I uploaded about 6 of my pictures that I've taken around the Broads. I put them up on the map. I put them in the group so everybody can have a look at them. People can comment on them, add their own, and all sorts of things.
Well, that would be a wonderful thing to do, wouldn't it, to do that? We'd have a bit of a... We'd like to see all your photographs, all the listeners' photographs, whatever they might be, and you can upload them on the Flickr website.
Yes, and we can do one day when we have something to give away, we'll do a contest.
we got a minute to go here. Just tell us about next week, going to Barcelona.
Yes, I am going to Barcelona to the open source conference around the website that's design project called Drupal.org, and I will call in from Barcelona. I will tell you all about it, and I will also tell you all about the open source movement and the free software you can get online and through other ways.
Sounds wonderful. Okay, Dominic. Ross, thank you very much for your time today.
Okay.
We'll see you here next week.